A pastor was making the rounds one Sunday morning while all of the Sunday school classes were meeting. He greatly desired that the children were learning the Bible and getting a good foundation laid for their faith. It was a quality control check, you might say, on teachers and students. As he entered one of the classrooms, the teacher welcomed him and invited him to sit down on the floor in a circle with all the other students. The teacher shared that they had been studying the Bible all year and invited him to ask the children some questions to see how they were doing. Well, the pastor said, well, okay. Kids, who can tell me who knocked down the walls of Jericho? An 8-year-old Johnny immediately jumped up and said, it wasn't me. I didn't do it. Well, this lack of Bible knowledge concerned the pastor because in his mind, that was Bible 101. A kid 8 years old should know the story of Jericho. After all, they covered it in their lesson. So the pastor became a bit concerned and invited the teacher to step out in the hallway. And he asked her, what kind of a Sunday school class are you running here? And she immediately said, listen, Pastor, Johnny's a good kid. If he says he didn't knock down the wall, then he didn't knock down the wall. So now the pastor's really upset and worried about the entire Bible education program in his church. So he then went to the board of directors meeting and shared his concern with them that no one, teacher or student, knew who knocked down the wall of Jericho. They said, okay, we'll take this matter under consideration and get back to you. Well, they contacted him about a week later and said, we've discussed the situation about the Jericho wall and we've decided we're going to pay for the repairs out of the evangelism account. Well, the point of this silly story is to emphasize the importance of knowing the characters of the Bible. Knowing the Bible in general. Biblical illiteracy runs rampant in the church today. Today we come across a character that I would wager if a congregation was polled, over 90% of the people would not know who this person is. I'm not going to embarrass any one of you by asking you this morning. We're simply going to get down to it so that by the time we leave today, we will know who this important person is. We continue with Acts chapter 9, picking up where we left off. Paul is no longer on the scene. He's been safely put on a ship to Tarsus and will be out of the picture for several chapters as we switch our focus back to Peter and the Jerusalem-based church. Acts 9, 32 to 43 reads as follows. As Peter traveled about the country, he went to visit the Lord's people who lived in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, who was paralyzed and had been bedridden for 8 years. Aeneas, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up, roll up your mat. Immediately, Aeneas got up. All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good works and was full of charitable gifts and helping the poor. Well, about that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa. So when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, please come at once. Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. And turning toward the dead woman, he said, Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. When I was young and growing up in Zion Lutheran Church in Lucky, Ohio, I remember the different groups that existed for men and women and children within the congregation. There was a program for the elementary kids called Junior Lutherans. Anyone remember that? We had it. And we attended on Saturday mornings. They also had catechetical studies for confirmation age youth. There was the Luther League for high school. The men were the trustees who took care of the property. They were the ushers and the council members. But most importantly, they lived for the dartball team in the winter and softball team in the summer. And I always felt like the women got ripped off a bit. The only thing for my mom to participate in besides the choir was what was called circle meetings. Anyone? Circle meetings? It sounded so boring to me. "You just go and sit in a circle, Mom?" I asked. Not only were they were divided into two groups, two circles. One of the groups was called the Lydia's Circle, and the other group, the one my mom was in, was called the Dorcas Circle. Those names always intrigued me. "Mom, why are you in a group named Dorcas? We don't have anyone in the church named Dorcas." I never did get an answer. But today the answer is made clear. Dorcas. Remember that name. Dorcas was a very important woman in the early church in Joppa. Dorcas is the only woman in the New Testament specifically referred to as a disciple of Jesus. When one reads this passage, the temptation is to focus upon the great miracles that God accomplished through the life of Peter. He healed a man who had been paralyzed for 8 years. He raised Tabitha or Dorcas from the dead. Now that's a disciple. Those are powerful works of God that moved many to believe in Jesus. But I do not want to dwell on those acts this morning. Rather, I would like for us to take a closer look at this woman, this disciple named Dorcas, who is the recipient of the miracle. She too is a great disciple, a great woman of faith. And frankly, she's a person we can and should all aspire to be. You know, the miracles that Peter did are incredible. But let's face it, how many of us get up in the morning saying, "Who can I raise from the dead today? Which paraplegic should I command to get up out of their wheelchair?" That just does not happen in 99.99% of Christian people's lives. Nor should we feel like we are less of a believer if we have never done such a thing. I don't think God would have us to wake up in the morning with those lofty goals. But Dorcas, on the other hand, is someone we can all aspire to be. She sets the bar high for the believer, but that bar is not unattainable. What does it say about Dorcas? In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good works and was full of charitable gifts and helping the poor. When Peter arrived, it said, all the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. So then Dorcas was a person of charitable gifts. She helped the poor, made articles of clothing for many widows, no doubt helped supply meals to others. Now, some people live as givers in this world. Others live as takers. Dorcas was a giver. She practiced true religion. James 1:27 says this, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Matthew 25, 35 to 40 says this, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When do we see you a stranger and invite you in, or in need clothes and clothe you? When do we see you sick or in prison and go visit you?" And the king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me." Those verses describe Dorcas in a nutshell. She was a blessing to the church. She had simple gifts, but she took those simple gifts, especially her needle and thread, and made a great impact upon the church and the community she lived in. We might not ever become a Peter or Paul, but we can all learn to be like Dorcas. When God tells us what true faith consists of, when people stand before the white throne judgment, he isn't going to say, "How many people did you raise from the dead? How many people did you get out of wheelchairs?" But it says he's going to ask us, "Did you give a cup of cold water to someone who is thirsty? Did you help clothe the naked?" Things that we can all do. "Did you take care of the orphan and the widow in their distress? Visit the sick. Provide a meal for a family that could use it. Give a glass of cold water. Do you have a charitable attitude?" That is what God wants from us. That is what the life of a disciple of Jesus consists of. Let the Peters and Pauls of this world do their thing. The church needs them. We need the great leaders. But it's just as important that we do our thing in the church as well as alongside of Dorcas. The simple things, the loving things, the needed things, the things that nobody but God notices. As we get into our congregational meeting in a few minutes, I'd like to say that God is calling all of us to be a modern day Dorcas. He wants us to practice true religion, to continue taking care of widows and orphans in the Ukraine, continue feeding starving children in Haiti and other parts of the world, continue giving cups of clean cold water through Water Missions International, continue blessing those who are hurting through mercy ships, continue to support the persecuted church with our charitable acts of love. We are reaching what many consider to be the high holy day of the football season next Sunday. We call it the Super Bowl. The teams that make it to the Super Bowl are just that. They're teams. They work together to become a unified winning force on the gridiron. On any given play, if one person doesn't do their job, it can hinder the entire team. A quarterback can get sacked and fumble the ball if the lineman doesn't hold his block. Worse yet, it could get injured. A safety can slip and fall or get burnt by a wide receiver and give up a touchdown. A kicker can shank a field goal attempt and change the entire outcome of the game. Every person has a job to do. And the overall success of the team relies upon the individual player consistently doing their part. As a congregation, we'll have a budget presented before us, representing our effort to share Jesus with the world in 2024. My only words of wisdom regarding any church budget in any church is this: do not vote yes for a budget that you do not plan to support. Don't make a pledge or a vow before God in church and then not carry it out. Do not make the person sitting next to you carry your share of the load. We are in this work of God together. God plans and wants to use all of us, not just half of us, to serve and glorify Him. For we are the body of Christ, a unified group of believers. Like Dorcas, God wants to raise us up to keep sharing the love of His Son, Jesus Christ, with the world. There's nothing more important a person can do in life than to offer the saving love of Jesus Christ to another person. What a glorious day it was when God gave back to the church a person that they still desperately needed. He wasn't done with Dorcas. And He's not done with you and me as well. Dorcas, by her simple gifts, employed in the service of Jesus, embroidered her name with her needle and thread in the history of the world through the Holy Scriptures for all to see. God did not raise her up to write a book or go on a speaking tour or build a megachurch, but she went right back to serving in her quiet ways of taking care of widows and the poor. That's what God noticed about her and what He wants to notice about you. He notices the things that people don't always notice, but to Him, it is what the gospel is all about. It's about offering simple gifts to others with a charitable attitude. Most importantly, the simple yet profound gift of eternal life in His Son Jesus. So today and for the rest of your life, take your place alongside of Dorcas in the church and in the world, for God does notice what you do to serve Him, just like Dorcas did, even down to the giving of a cup of cold water to someone in Jesus' name. Amen.